Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Earlier this hour, we took a look at the five-year anniversary, the collapse of Lehman Brothers, an event that brought with it the start of the financial crisis and a deep, deep recession. We want to take a more close look now at the culture of Wall Street itself, historically and today, and specifically the role of gender on Wall Street. Women make up more than half of the total workforce in the financial industry, but they hold only 16% of senior executive positions. And if you go to the tip of the pyramid to the CEO point, the number is even lower, infinitely lower. So the question is why? This past spring, hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones offered one explanation for the disparity.
And as soon as that baby's lips touch that girl's bosom, forget it. Every single investment idea, every desire to understand, what's going to make this go up or going to go down is going to be overwhelmed by the most beautiful experience, which a man will never share, but that emotive connection between that mother and that baby. And I've just seen it happen over and over.
Well, women on Wall Street and women across the country had a lot to say in response to those comments. Listen.
I invested with a lot of excellent female hedge fund managers, and many of them were raising children at the time. So his reality is very different than what I experienced in my reality.
That's the voice of Susan Schaefer Solove, founder and CEO of Pomegranate Capital, weighing in on this program. When Margot Eprecht worked on Wall Street in the late 80s, she had an observation of her own. She noticed that after women rose through the ranks, they left. She writes about this phenomenon and the numbers behind it in a new piece for Quartz that's in The Atlantic entitled The Real Reason Why Women Are Leaving Wall Street. And she joins me in the studio. Hi, Margot.
Hi. Thank you, Todd.
Also with me is Ginny Clark, the managing director of trading at Beech Hill. She was the first ever female trainee at Salomon Brothers, where she was also the first female trader way back in 1967 and the first female block trader at Merrill Lynch in the 70s. Hi, Ginny.
Hi there.
Great to have you both with us. Margot, I want to start with you because you've been a trader and you wrote this article. Walk us through some of the numbers. 52% or more, 54% of the total financial industry is female employees. But as you rise, HR, support employees, you make the case. But as you rise up the pyramid to sub-managers, managers, executives, once you get to CEOs, the total number is what? It's zero.
Zero.
Why?
The piece was assigned to me after Paul Tudor Jones' comments, and I was surprised, actually, to see the numbers when I looked at them. The zero is particularly informative because it's not only currently, but there never has been a female CEO of any of these major systemically important banks. But the one in six senior management is also pretty shocking. And in case like the management committee at Citibank, it's two women out of 24. So it's quite astonishing that after the women's liberation, the baby boom generation coming up, 50% of MBAs being women, that we're seeing such small representation at the top.
And it's still an industry where even the argument is a bit antiquated. There's still an argument about whether women are intellectually or constitutionally qualified to be good traders and good managers. That's part of the amazing part about it for me. Ginny, you were on the front lines of this way back in the 60s.
Yes. When,
so a pioneer of sorts. You say that times have changed much for the better in the industry, but compare what it was like for you to what it's like now.
Well, when I first started, first of all, Salomon Brothers was only 360 people. I was their first female as a trainee, and quote, I was a token. It was definitely a male macho world. Trading was not something that women ever wanted to go into, first of all, because of the abuse and also because of the language, because of the, you had to roll with the punches. For instance, like when I graduated from my training class, they got a gold watch. I got a rabbit to go get pregnant. Mm. So it was a culture that they thought, okay, I'm a token, but just stand there, look nice, and then leave. Well, my rabbit didn't die.
It didn't. And I look at your experience and I read Margot's article and I think, geez, you know, there's only one thing that matters down on Wall Street. It's making money. And if you were making money, why did anybody care? I mean, I get chauvinism. It's in a lot of parts of our society. But there's really only one premium on Wall Street, and it's cash.
Well, yes. But the man didn't want to see the woman succeed more than he did. he did not appreciate back in my days where they saw a woman really doing better or doing well with an account. They always felt that they were, you know, ahead. They were better.
But my question is, why didn't my question then is, why didn't the boss, who's looking down on female employee and comparable male employee, said, she's making money, I move her up, I don't care.
It didn't matter. It was how the it was a society. It was just an acceptance. It was where, honestly, I'm having dinner with Billy Solomon on Wednesday. He's 99. I stay in touch with all my bosses, but I have to tell you, it wasn't easy. And they didn't. It was more or less the boss would sit aside from it. But your peer group was what was really hard to deal with because they really did not want to see you succeed.
Well, that's an interesting point because, Margo, you make the point in the article that lots of women enter the trading industry, but as they go to move up the ranks, the premiums change. You had an interesting passage in your article. When times are good, intellectual capital is valued. When times are bad, in the downturn, political savvy and connections become more important. Ginny's talking about those connections, and you seem to make the case that that part of succeeding on Wall Street is different and difficult for women, quite outside of making money.
I think that came through very clearly from all of my sources. And actually, Ginny's point really goes to it, which is the peer group can be a big political support. Your peers can help coach you. They can help introduce you to people. They can help you rise through the ranks. And if you're different than the peer group, you're not going to have that kind of support. Many of the women found they didn't have that. Their bosses may have been supportive, in some cases very much, in some cases not so much. But it that old boy network, that phrase kept coming up over and over when I was doing my interviews. The old boy network certainly doesn't benefit women and help them move ahead.
And you say at times of crisis, which we've just gone through, in that quote that I just read, that when times are good, everybody's making money, women do okay. When it becomes about politics and connections, women drop off. Have women dropped off since the Lehman collapse and the financial crisis of 2008?
Yes, they have. And there's been some very visible top-ranked women who have just literally disappeared. I was looking in my research at an article from 2007. They had four of the top women on Wall Street, Zoe Cruz, Sally Krawcheck, Heidi Miller, and Erin Callan, photos of all four across. None of those four are in any operating role in Wall Street today.
And they've all dropped off. And is it for the similar reasons that
it's
you cited?
Very much because of losing political battles.
Yes, the politics is extremely important. That's why even when I was going through the beginning stages in the 60s and 70s, they would test me all the time. I mean, as Margo wrote up, I had somebody streak me to see if I could handle the pressure of a nude body running across me. Those were the times where you either had to roll with it or you got upset. If you didn't roll with it, you would never be accepted.
So two different perspectives on the roles and the rise of women on Wall Street. Margo Eprecht is a journalist and Wall Street veteran and author of the article in The Atlantic, The Real Reason Why Women Are Leaving Wall Street. Ginny Clark, Managing Director of Trading at Beech Hill. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we want to continue to hear from you on the issue of U.S. intervention in Syria. We heard this hour from U.N. Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen. We want to hear from you. What do you think? Should the United States, as Congress debates this, intervene in the face of chemical weapons? 8778-MY-TAKE. You can weigh in at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.